the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you would, please. Book of 1 Thessalonians. I want you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. And we're going to look at the last verse of that chapter, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I say hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you another verse of scripture. It's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but just for the sake of giving it to you. I want you to look in chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there he has reference to the fact of the tribulation period, that we're not appointed to the wrath of God. We're going to get out of here. Now, Paul been writing, he'd been in Thessalonica. He preached to them about the coming of Jesus. And they was having a little problem understanding all that because some people had died before Jesus had come. And he's going to talk about that in this book and deal with that subject. But I saw those about the wrath to come, and then we're not appointed to wrath. And I just got to thinking about, and that's not the message I'm preaching tonight, but I'm glad, thank God, I'm missing the wrath. Amen. The wrath. Isn't that good? I mean, the wrath of Almighty God is going to be poured out. You think about this sinful world and where we're headed to, and the wrath of God one day is going to come, but we're going to miss it. Hallelujah. I praise God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God, to hear the singing songs, and just enjoy fellowship together around the Word. I pray now you'd help us, Lord, to remember all those on the prayer list. And we realize that a lot of people, we don't know who they are personally, but somebody's got a burden about them. Somebody cares. And, Lord, we pray for them and ask you to help us to pray like we ought to pray. And then for the sick, and God, these folk would love to be here tonight. And they'd love to be in the house of God, but they could not come. And Lord, I pray for them, be near and precious to them, and encourage their hearts. And then, Father, I pray that you'd speak to those, God, that could have come and did not come, that they may see the need of it. I pray for them, and I lift my voice to you in Jesus' name. Then I ask you, God, to help us now to preach for a few moments. You know who's here. You know what we need. And that you've laid upon our hearts, help us, God, to share it like you want us to share it. Give us the touch of God, rebuke the devil. I plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What I'm going to preach on tonight is the subject, some truths of the second coming. Some truths of the second coming. Jesus is coming back, there's no question about that. I mentioned to you about some context of this book. There's five chapters in this book, and at least one time in every chapter, he mentions the second coming. And I'd like to pick up on those and just try to say a little bit about them. You can make a message out of every one of them, I'm sure. But we want to pick up on those and just see the main thought, the main thrust of what it does, at least what God said to my heart about that. Church at Thessalonica, Paul went there and preached on his second missionary journey. And church wasn't there but a month or so, and then he had to flee because of persecution. Went to Berea, went to Athens. At Athens, he sent Timothy back to go back to and find out how they were doing. He loved those folks so much, he cared how they were doing. They responded well. They took in the gospel. They believed what God said, and they were getting saved, and he was concerned about them. Timothy then leaves and comes back to report to Paul, and he's in Corinth at that time, and he tells them about the questions they have about the second coming. And so he writes this letter. This is the first letter that Paul ever wrote to a church, and he's writing to this church. And if you read the entire book in one sitting, you'll feel the heartbeat of Paul in it, how he loved them and how they loved Paul. And but they had some questions, because, and even some questions about all this, because why hadn't Jesus come? Some people had already died. And they couldn't grasp that. They couldn't. They had preached the second coming of Christ, and they believed that. But notice in chapter 1, in verse number 10, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, I want to say, first of all, the first mention of the second coming is the fact that Paul's saying it's sure, and you are to wait for that coming. It's sure. Look in verse number 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He said, now, I preached in the power, and the Holy Ghost witnessed to it, and power of him worked. Verse 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." He said, now you've seen the power of the Holy Ghost. You know the joy of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse number 9. "For they themselves show of what us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." He said, now you've heard the preaching power. You know the joy of the Holy Ghost of being saved. You've turned from idols unto the living God. Oh, that's true. I want you to know it's true. And it's sure about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are to wait for his coming. And he was assuring them of the fact that as sure as they got saved, if God did that and God gave them joy and God helped them and they turned from idols and all that was sure, they could rest assured Jesus is coming again. And let me say to you tonight, Jesus is coming again. Our world tonight doesn't think much about that. I'm talking about the world now outside here. I don't think much about that, but the longer I live and the more I see, the more I believe that Jesus Christ is soon coming. And he is coming back to get us out of here. There will be a rapture, sure as I'm standing where I stand. I'm glad God's precious word tells us he's coming again. John 14, Jesus was talking there about them not their heart be troubled. He went on and said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When Jesus ascended into heaven, two men stood by in white apparel and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus which you've seen go away shall so come again in like manner." And he made promises he's coming back. He is coming back. Revelation 22 and 7. Revelation 22 and 17. He talks about, "Behold, I come quickly." And he is coming quickly. And that quickly means, I believe that double meaning, quickly, in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Also mean, I believe we today can say he's coming quickly as far as time element is concerned. It will not be long until Jesus will come and we will leave out. Amen. You say, "Preacher, things are, where are they going? Where are they heading to?" Well, we're heading out. That's where we're heading to. The world's heading to the Antichrist. We're heading out. And so I'm telling you, Paul wrote to this church to encourage them and to help them because of the fact of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul in his day wrote concerning that, I believe you and I ought to know something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. And so you and I, and are waiting and looking for his appearing, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. Aren't you glad that you're looking for that hope? He promised to come back. He said he would come back. He is coming back, and you can rest assured he's coming back. I read this little story one time about the fella that left his little boy standing outside of a store and said, "Now you stand right here. I'm going in there. I'm going to be back and get you, but don't you move. Don't you go anywhere. You stay right here." It started raining and said it pouring down the rain. Somebody came by, had an umbrella, and said, "Come on in, son. I'll take you inside the building where it's dry." He said, "No, sir. My daddy told me to stay right here. He's coming back. I'm staying right here." I say, praise God. Jesus told us he's coming back. He said, "Wait." And he said, "Stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand, therefore." And so we're just going to wait on his coming. Stay where we are, do what he says, and just believe God. Amen. He said he's coming back. He's coming back. That little boy believed his dad's coming back. And he believed his dad. I believe my heavenly Father. When he said Jesus said he's coming back, he's coming back. And praise God for it. Now look in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, if you would please. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are a glory in our joy. Now Paul said, my joy, my glory. He said, in fact, you got saved. And he said, and are not ye even, verse 19, break in the middle of it, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now here's, I guess we call this a stimulating thought about his second coming. He said, he's going to come, he's going to get us, he's going to take us home. We're going to get out of here, and rapture will take place, and we'll go. And ye are my joy, my glory. He said, he said in chapter 1, I preached, you believed, you got saved, you know the joy. And Jesus is surely coming back. Now he said, ye are. And what he's thinking about, Paul moving his mind on to heaven. And when Jesus comes, and they're going to get to go in the rapture because they're saved. And he had a part in that. And he knows in judgment someday he'll be rewarded for that. But the joy of it is that they'll be there. And he's rejoicing with them, in them, and they are his joy. Hey, I want to say praise God. Somebody sang a song around here. I believe Miss Mara took the little ones one time and sung it. Maybe somebody else has sung that song. And says, thank you for serving the Lord, or thank you for giving to the Lord, I believe is the title of it. And kids came around and sang that song. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for what you do for the Lord. Hey, thank you for giving somebody a track. Thank you for telling somebody about Jesus. And somebody's sharing with me tonight about something that happened that delayed them on their trip, but got to witness to somebody. God always does things right. And if we'll take advantage of the opportunities that we have, then we can help somebody else. And when we get to heaven, we'll never know for sure. And the fact is, we won't even know much about it down here, period. But to know how much influence or how much we've impacted lives until we get to glory. Amen. And when we get to glory, how glorious it'll be to be there and somebody come by and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for sending a missionary over to where I was. Thank you. Brother Kenyon, someday, I believe it's your grandfather, the first in your family that got saved. And someday that granddad is going to meet that missionary in glory and say, thank you. Maybe, I guess, already there. And have already met together in glory and said, thank you for coming and telling me about Jesus. Amen. And praise God. I get thinking about that, and that gets gooder and gooder. Amen. Because he's coming back. And you think about you have an opportunity to tell somebody. And I see Brother Buddy sitting back there. And my brother Buddy, I about not got that said, did I? Buddy. Anyway, brother Buddy, sitting back there, Joyce. And he got saved, and I know Brother Terry had something to do with that, and others had something to do with that, but hey, I one day in heaven, you think about that, and I'd be standing there, and here come Brother Buddy Joyce by, and hallelujah, and I had the privilege to lead him. I led him. Brother Gary and I were talking about this yesterday, I believe. Everybody you witness to, you lead them to Jesus. Whether they accept him or not, it's their problem. Amen, or their joy, one or the other. But you tell them, you've led them to Jesus, you've confronted them with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say praise God for that. I am not responsible for the results. All I'm responsible for is carry the mail. Take the mail to the mailbox, put it in, and they're responsible when they get it out, what they do with it. Amen, I used to feel like I had to make them do it. Hey, I can't make them do it. If they don't want to open the letter, that's their business. Amen. They make a choice whether they're going to open it or not. But Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If I lead them to place and Jesus is a knocking, and then they're going to have to respond one way or the other. Amen. And I'm glad, praise God, tonight when we get to glory, hallelujah. And the Bible says the last shall be first, the first shall be last. And those first ones were faithful. You think about them standing there and everybody after them came because they were faithful. The rest of us got in. And the ones coming after us
and got in because we were faithful. You think about that, hallelujah. And I was talking to Brother Abbott back there a while ago. I mean, being faithful is something else, amen. We need to be faithful because someday, standing over yonder, somebody looked and saw, well, they were faithful. They went down to the house of God. Must be something down there. I believe I'll go find out what's going on. And hallelujah, they come and get saved. I say hallelujah and praise the Lord for that. I rejoice in God's goodness and God's mercy and how good he's been to us and people he's let us preach to, people he's let us meet, and pastors he's let us have. Hey, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad, but one day when we stand over yonder, and sometimes you don't think much about that until you get a letter or somebody says something to you. Brother Mark was with me, and I hesitate to say anything about this because this is personal, but Brother Mark said something to me that encouraged my heart because, and I was glad he was with me. I'm glad for a young preacher that was with me to hear, because there was people in a place, Rural Retreat, where I used to pastor, that was coming up and tell me about when they got saved, and I was there, and this and that happened, and do you remember this and that? And he just listened. He wouldn't say anything. Went to Maryland. People come from other churches, other places, and they talking about me coming up there years ago and preaching and all that kind of thing. And he said that touched his heart, made him realize, wow, how much your life can touch other lives that you don't know about. Hey, listen, I don't say that bragging. It wasn't anything about me. All I knew was when I got saved, God saved me. When he called me to preach, all I knew was I was to preach the word of God and try to get people saved and go and share Jesus Christ with others. I had no idea what God would do with me. If I got a place to preach, I was happy as a lark. Amen. Let me preach. If it's two or three, four or five, a dozen, half a dozen, that wasn't what I was after. All I wanted to do was share Jesus Christ and go tell somebody that Jesus saved. But Jesus has honored that. I praise him and I thank him for that. As I get older and as I know the end is nearing and one way or the other, and I'm not telling you I'm gonna die tomorrow. I may die tonight. But I'm not gonna tell you I'm fixing to kick out or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, at the longest, it won't be long until it's gonna be over with. But I look back on it and I say, hallelujah. I thank God for the little bit he let me have in his work. I thank God. I'm not finished yet. Amen. And God still got me preaching. God still got me going. I intend to keep on going as long as God will give me breath and give me health to stand on these two legs. I intend to do it. Amen. And if God gives me mind enough to do it and health enough, then I intend to do it. But I want to say tonight, thank him. Thank him. Thank him for just letting me have a little bitty part. I just want to say that as an older man, to all you young fellas and young ladies, you got a life now. Give it to God. Use it for God. Put it to work for God. Witness to somebody about Jesus. Somewhere down the road, if Jesus doesn't come, somebody will come by and say thank you. Somebody, you'll see some family serving God, and you'll look back and think back, I remember when I told them about Jesus. And it'll stir your heart. It'll encourage you. In other words, just when he mentioned coming back here, it's to stimulate you to keep on telling people about Jesus Christ and trying to win others through Jesus Christ. Everyone here has been saved any length of time, has been any kind of testimony, would have a testimony you could give about somebody and people in your life that you've touched, that you've helped, that you've encouraged, and you've done something to be a blessing to them. Thank God for it. Amen. It's not always leading somebody to Christ. It may be encouraging some discouraged Christian. It may be in helping somebody that's having problems. Whatever it is, that your life can be instilled in. You know, when you lose your life, you get it. That's what Jesus said, lose your life, you find it. If you find it, you lose it. When you lose your life, giving it to Jesus Christ, serving others, then you find what life's really all about. Life doesn't have any meaning to it if you're not serving God. If you're not, it's just existence. You're just getting through. But I'm glad. Well, I got to get off that point. But I like it. Amen. Now let's look at chapter 3, verse number 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts and unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and with all his saints. Now, what he's saying there is he's going to stabilize you. And when stabilize you, keeps you from getting out of line. Amen. And talking about the holiness before God, even our Father coming. In other words, Jesus is coming, don't know when he's coming, so stay in line. Amen, that's what he's saying. Stabilizing you in that. And look, notice the first part of that verse. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. I'm glad tonight that 1 John 2:28 said, now little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, that you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You and I, we're thinking about the coming of Christ as a stabilizing force in our life. If you think about living in the world today, and all you didn't have Christ, you didn't know Jesus, and everything that's happening around you today, if you didn't have Christ, what stabilizing force would you have? What would give you stability in your life? What could you depend on? What would you depend on? You can't depend on the government. You can't depend on retirement. You can't depend on any of that. What are you going to depend on? The world's going to get better. What are you going to depend on? Hey, number one we can depend on, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's a stabilizing force in my life. Amen. I know he's coming back. He said he was. I know he is. And it's a stabilizing force. In chapter 4 and verse 13, now comes that second coming again. Here he's going to give them, I guess, a satisfying answer to their question. If you want to alliterate it, put satisfying. That's the answer to their question about what happens to these that have died. But I would not, verse 13, I read this a lot at cemeteries. I start to say graveside, but I don't like that word either. At the resurrection place, amen, resurrection ground, and we read this a lot. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I'm not talking about soul sleep, talking about those in the ground, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If God's bringing them with him, they're not in the grave. They're with him. The body, the shell, the house they lived in is in the grave. But they are in heaven, and they're coming back. When Jesus comes back, soul and spirit. Paul wrote about it. Oh, they're talking about saved body, soul, holy, body, soul, and spirit, physically and spiritually. We have a spirit, we're God knowledge, and we have a soul, we're self-knowledgeable, and body, we're world knowledgeable. But thank God one day resurrection is going to come. And the body's going to be resurrected. Soul, spirit's coming back and united with that body, and we're getting out of here. Hallelujah. Now notice what I said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, not go before, them which sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I say praise God, those are comforting words. Now they understood Christ is coming back, but people have died, they didn't understand what's happening to them. And he wrote back to them now, here's a satisfying answer. He said what's going to happen is their soul, spirit, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, I believe, the absent from the body is be present with the Lord. And then if the soul, spirit's with him, come back with him. And he said this ought to satisfy your question, what about those who have died? Well, the body's there, but when Jesus comes, he's going to resurrect the body, and soul, spirit's coming back with him, and there'll be a glorified human being forever and forever. Amen. And so he gives them an answer for that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but know when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Now that's what I want to bring you to the last verse with that verse of scripture I just quoted. Look at the verse number 23 of chapter 5. Here's a sanctifying thing, the truth of the second coming. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I just gave you that holy part, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had sanctified in Christ Jesus, And I'm glad, praise God, that our whole body, spirit, and soul is going to be glorified with him and together forever. And I want to encourage you today that we are to walk separated in this world. And if you sit down and read the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it says, and you'll find that he talks to them about being saved and walking right and doing what's right and waiting for the coming of Christ. This waiting for Jesus, this second coming of Christ, these truths are real. And you and I need to live our life day by day in the light of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming, and he will come, and we will leave out. And it causes me to want to witness to somebody, causes me to want to preach, causes me to want to help somebody else, causes me to want to live separated from the Lord. It causes me not to want to be ashamed when he comes. It causes me to want to be faithful to get here. This is the truths of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And satisfying, and I'm glad it's a satisfying answer to the question, what if I physically die? Well, we're still going to be with the Lord. And the valley of death is just a shadow. Shadow never has hurt anybody. Shadow of a Mack truck can run over you and not hurt you a bit. Now, if a Mack truck runs over you, that hurts you. But the shadow going to hurt you. And he said it's the valley of the shadow of death. Thank God I'll never have to taste death. It'll just be a shadow. That's enough to shout around the church a few times. Amen. A shadow. We're going to be with Jesus forever and forever. I look around, I see some folks, got people I know recent years gone to heaven. My heart cries to God, someday, someday, someday. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, maybe today. Amen. We're going to be together. Have a great homecoming. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have the great truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that we know that you are coming because you said you were coming. Father, you never tell us anything's not so. Then, Lord, when we stand before you and we get to see folk we've had a part in their lives, what a joy. Help that to encourage every person here tonight. And then, Lord, and help us as we look at the thing of a coming, it's a second coming. What a joy it is to think about it. What a challenge it is to do what's right. Be faithful. Live as you would please you and bring glory to you. That everyone around us may know there's something different about that person. Father, I pray that you'd help us all. In Jesus' precious name.